Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Penny Quigg. Hello, Penny.
Good to be here this afternoon, Gary.
Thank you. Well, Penny is chairwoman of the Cole County Republican Central Committee, and we've asked her to come in to talk a little bit about the election season that we're well within right now. So we just appreciate this chance to sit down and talk about where things are and kind of give an inside view of what it looks like. So for those who don't know, Missourians previous years had a presidential primary.
That's correct.
That would allow an election that would allow the selection of a candidate through an election.
Correct. Primary election.
Right. Now, what some folks may not know, and I'll confess I didn't, she and I had this conversation briefly, there was a caucus afterwards in which the delegates were selected.
That is right? Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Cole County Republicans on Saturday held a caucus for the selection of a presidential candidate for the August primary, correct?
More specifically, we held a caucus to elect delegates to the Congressional District Convention and to the state party convention in Springfield.
All right. So kind of walk us through what that looked like.
Well, first I have to say that the Cole County Republican Central Committee or any committee in Missouri is responsible for the cost and planning of the caucus.
Okay.
So my whole county committee assisted. I kind of engineered it. We had to secure a place that was ADA compliant, had to make sure that we had, you know, a way for people to hear us. We had to coordinate with the county clerk. We used the poll pads because everyone that participates has to be a registered voter. So we were able to use his records to establish that. We had to have many things printed. As part of the registration process, you had to sign a pledge that you were a good and strong Republican. So I had 400 of those printed. I didn't think we'd have 400, but I wanted to be sure I had it covered. We also had to have the platform printed, and we had to have the rules of the caucus printed.
Okay.
So there was a lot of, you know, work up front.
Sure.
Before we even got started.
Yeah.
They were also able to register on the MOGOP website.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a team that did just the pre-registrations.
Okay.
So once we got everyone registered, I called the meeting to order. I was the temporary chair by virtue of being the county committee chair.
Okay.
And then we elected a permanent chair, who in this case was Ron Fitzwater, who is the vice chair of our county committee. And then from there, we started the work of the caucus. And, you know, people hear that word caucus and they think it's something political. Really, a caucus is any meeting of like-minded people getting together to do business.
Yeah.
So our business was to elect delegates and alternates to the Congressional Caucus and to the state convention, and also to consider any changes in the platform that people wish to bring forward. The first order of business was people were allowed to nominate presidential candidates. At this point, there's only two. As of last Saturday, there were only two, and that was Mr. Trump and Mrs. Haley. So after those two candidates were announced, the chairman indicated that people could get together with their respective candidate. And one of the rules of the caucus was that in order to be considered to have any kind of a delegate representation, you had to have 15% of the votes.
Okay.
So our credentials committee reported that we had 240 votes.
Okay.
So therefore, for Mrs. Haley to have any consideration, she would have had to have 36 supporters.
Okay.
She only had 23.
Okay.
So therefore, she was out of the running. And then we had a prepared slate that, as the central committee, we had put together. But there was another group that was on some levels sort of loosely coordinated by Secretary Ashcroft. And so they identified a slate of delegates and alternates. Their delegates and alternates were the same to the congressional as it was to the state.
Okay.
Ours had a broader spectrum of people. We tried to include more people.
Okay.
As it turned out, the group led by Mr. Ashcroft, their slate was successful because they had more luck getting their folks turned out.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting because the people that Mr. Ashcroft was working with are not I don't think supporters of his. Many of them are supporting Bill Igel. In fact, the one woman that worked with him is Mr. Igel's legislative assistant at the Capitol.
All right.
So that was kind of interesting to see
how
that all came together.
So it sounds like, not that horse trading is not the right word, I know, but it sounds like there's a lot of good conversations there.
I think so, yes.
You know, trying to sell somebody on why that approach is better than another approach.
You know, from the outside, it may have looked a little scrambled, but really, our caucus went very smoothly. Our registration process was excellent. I even imported my daughters from Springfield to help with it because I wanted to make sure everything was well organized. In Boone County, they were an hour late getting started because they were not organized.
Yeah.
So I felt very happy about the way ours turned out, and I received compliments to the committee from many different types of attendees.
Yeah. If you think about it, I mean, a caucus in itself, I mean, it's a grassroots level, right?
Absolutely.
So no matter how well organized you are, there's no way you can, unlike a primary election where you just go in, you show you're a voter, you get your ballot and you vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's very sterile. And in this, it can go any number of different ways.
It's very people-centric.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that not having the presidential preference primary really disenfranchised a lot of people because we had 240 people participate Saturday morning. And these are all people that are, you know, very involved and interested in the political process. But typically in a presidential preference primary, we have thousands of people voting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Additionally, the only time you could participate was at that caucus on a Saturday morning, where in a presidential preference primary, you have absentee ballot, you have no-fault voting, and you have 13 hours on the day of election. So I know that Mr. Ashcroft was thinking about the cost savings, but I think it was kind of a Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah.
It came at a cost.
Sure. I think that's a great point.
But also, what really stopped us from having a presidential primary is that the legislature declined to reinstate it.
Mm-hmm.
That evidently has to be authorized every cycle.
Yeah.
And that was not done. So, and that was due to a very small group of people that for whatever reason didn't want us to have that.
Kind of shut down the Senate.
And I think I read the fiscal note that maybe the savings was going to be $7 million, which I realize is a lot of money. However, I think that is money that was well spent for people to have an opportunity to express themselves.
To feel connected, right? I think you made the mention of how you can be disenfranchised by not feeling connected to the to the process.
Well, and I had, as county chairman, I get a lot of calls because they call the county clerk and then he sends them to me, which is great. But they were angry that I had one woman call and she said, well, they told me I can't vote in the primary. And I said, well, ma'am, there's not going to be a primary. And I explained it all. And she said, well, that's just not right. I'm disabled and I don't have a way to get there on a Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, why are you having it on a Saturday? And I said, well, the state party determined that that was the day that most people would be likely to be able to come.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, for me, I have to use public transportation and it doesn't run on Saturday. So you've disenfranchised me. And I said, I get that. You know, I have a mobility issue myself. So I get that. But at some point you have to set a time.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
well, and I think that was the point that Representative Rudy Veit, who pushed that legislation last session, made, was that it's not everyone can be there at that set time.
Right.
And so again, the hope is that certainly that can be revisited before the next presidential
primary
election.
Yes, I think that we've talked about it at our county committee meetings, and I think that is something that we will be focusing on because it is important. And I really just don't understand how it happened, but I'm sure that Mr. Ashcroft could point to this in his gubernatorial campaign as a way that he's a fiscal conservative. And I can't argue with that, but I just wonder if the cost is worth what we've given up.
Okay, so you guys selected your delegates.
Mm-hmm.
What's the responsibilities of a delegate?
The delegates to the congressional district will go to Fulton Saturday, April the 6th, and there they will select three delegates and three alternates to the national convention. They will also select a presidential elector.
Okay.
And they will also consider, again, changes to the platforms that have come up from all the counties that are in the congressional district.
Okay.
And I might add that Mr. Fitzwater will be the temporary chairman of that meeting because he is the chairman of the 3rd Congressional District.
So what is the difference between a delegate and an elector?
Okay, a delegate is someone that attends the national convention.
Okay.
An elector is someone that after the election is held in December, they become members of the Electoral College. They will go to the Capitol. The governor will call a meeting, and they will go to the Capitol and cast Missouri's 10 electoral votes in the Electoral College. And I have to say that it's been my privilege to do that. So,
So the 3 delegates who are selected to go to Fulton, will they?
No, to the national.
To the national.
Right.
Right. Out of the congressional meeting at Fulton. Those 3 will go to Springfield, but they will still go on to the national.
They will go on to the national, yes.
Okay. So at Springfield, which is the statewide convention, that's where they will consider the platform changes put forward by the counties.
Correct, to finally decide what's going to be included in the platform. Also at the state convention, there will be what's called the at-large slate.
Okay.
And that will be people that are selected typically by the chairman of the state party, sometimes with input from the state committee. Typically, those are people that have been very active in our party, people that have been financially supportive of the party, or anyone else that the chairman wants to honor. It's considered to be on the at-large slate. And I actually have been on the at-large slate.
Okay.
And there's an at-large slate of delegates and also one of alternates.
Okay.
And then there'll be 2 presidential electors selected at that. That's for the 2 United States senators. And they go with the 8 that were elected out of the congressional district. So we have 10 electoral votes.
Okay. So when is the Springfield conference?
Springfield is the first Saturday in May. I believe it's May 4th, maybe.
Okay. And then when's the national convention? Where's
the national convention is going to be in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And it's going to be, I don't have the exact dates, but it's going to be in July.
Okay.
And I actually have had the privilege of attending 3 national conventions, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's long days, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, I was going to ask you, so what conventions have you been?
I attended on the at-large slate in 1984. That was in Dallas. Then I attended in 88 in New Orleans, and I attended in 92 in Houston.
Okay.
And then my daughter, who was just out of high school, was actually a page to the national convention in San Diego in 96.
Yeah.
So we've all had our trips to the national convention.
Yeah. So what's your biggest takeaway from one of those 3 trips?
Well, I have to say, you know, when I went to the first one, I was kind of starstruck because our state chairman at that time was great friends with Maureen Reagan.
Okay.
And she had a lot of influence and we had excellent seating. We were up front and we were close to the California delegation. So we were all sitting there like on a Monday morning and we look over and walking in front of us was Charlton Heston. And we all were just kind of awestruck. You know, we're from Missouri. We're not used to seeing celebrities. So you did see a lot of, you know, you saw all the media people, saw all the candidates. You did see a lot of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a giddy week of, you know, politics and famous people, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, that sounds interesting. So these delegates, let's go back to that. Those 3 delegates that will come out of Fulton to go to Springfield and National Conference, what will their responsibilities be?
Well, at the National Convention, there are sessions every day. Typically, I haven't seen the agenda, but typically it starts on Monday and ends on Thursday. So there are meetings every day where they'll hear various speakers. They'll hear about what people are thinking about the changes on the platform. Sometimes they have speakers talking about, you know, campaigning and kind of the nuts and bolts of things. And then, you know, it culminates in the nomination of the candidate. And then they will take a roll call vote and they will be responsible for reporting to the caucus chairman how they wish to vote. And then that will be recorded by the National Convention Secretary. And that will end in a nomination. It's probably not going to be as uncertain as it has been in other years because Mr. Trump evidently has secured just about every delegate in the country.
So. Right. Right.
You know, there have been times in 70, I think it was 76 when the convention was in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. That's when Gerald Ford and I think Ronald Reagan were kind of duking it out. But it's pretty much sure thing this time. So.
Yeah. Well, and so in that instance, if they don't achieve a certain level of votes, then there's a second round of voting.
Right.
Right.
And delegates are bound, what we call bound.
Okay.
That means that they have to vote for who they were elected to represent. And they are bound on the first round of balloting. However, if it goes to a second, that bond is released.
Okay.
So they're kind of free game for anybody to try and persuade them to vote for them.
Okay. Were you ever in any of those situations where you had a second ballot?
No, it was
the
ones I went to, it was pretty cut and dried.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in this day of electronic media, I think those campaigns coalesce more than they used to. We didn't have instantaneous communication where people could make deals and get everything done, you know, without even seeing each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's put a whole different spin on national conventions. So basically it's, in the final analysis, it's kind of a big party to celebrate whoever's going to be your candidate.
Yeah.
And they do, again, consider the national platform so that sometimes that has resulted in some, you know, major discussions about what that's going to be.
Sure. Well, speaking of the platform, so were there any major changes from Cole County's perspective?
Pat Thomas chaired our platform committee, and what we did with in the rules, it said that they had to be written.
Mm-hmm.
Any changes had to be written to be considered. So she and, see, it was Jamie Pearson and two other people, they considered the changes, and what they did, they looked to see if there were similarities. So say you and I had the same idea,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to send up two changes. So they kind of edited those and consolidated those, and then they sent them on to the state party, and they will forward them to the congressional. So, you know, a platform, you know, is kind of the guiding light for what the party believes in.
Mm-hmm.
And many times I think people get in to kind of the minutia of what they want. And so I think there's some editing to try and keep it on the big ideas.
Right, right. Not get into the weeds necessarily.
Right,
yeah.
And we've been in the weeds before,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, as someone who has had a lot of experience in the caucus system, the whole election, the
process.
Whole election, election environment. How about that?
Yes.
What's your perception of the strengths and weaknesses of the caucus approach?
Well, I think the strength is that it puts a lot of power in the people that attend the caucus.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I believe that government should be participatory, and it saddens me that only 240 people got to decide what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you know me at all, you know that one of my things I harp on constantly is you have to go vote. For example, we have municipal elections coming up in April.
Yep.
Last year, the municipal election, countywide, 15.6% of the registered voters participated. To me, that's very sad.
It is.
I want people to be vested in what happens in government.
Yep.
And I think that the primaries certainly encourage participation. This is my 53rd year of being an election judge.
Mm.
So I think I know a little bit about elections.
Yeah.
And it's very disheartening for those of us, and there's probably close to 200 people in Cole County, that will get up the morning of election at, you know, 3:30 to get showered and dressed and get to the polling place by 5 o'clock, be ready to go at 6, stay there till 7, go to the courthouse afterwards, and maybe get home by 8:30 or 9. It's very disheartening for us to put in all that work, all the work the county clerk has done, and then have 15 out of 100 people show up.
Yeah.
Very disappointing.
Yeah. And it's such a simple task that people can do, right? All they're really asked to do is to be informed and
right.
to come vote. And it's for their own benefit.
And honestly, I mean, I work at one of the biggest precincts in Cole County. And I would say in the general election, we had, I think, around 2,400 people vote. And the longest anybody waited probably was 10 minutes. Is not your voice worth 10 minutes of waiting?
Yeah.
I know people get sick of hearing me talk about this, but I can't stop myself. It's just very disheartening.
It's an opportunity for again, much like a caucus setting where folks can come together and really express and identify what the community's future should look like.
Right.
Right.
And the other thing is, by knowing the candidates, you should have an idea about how they're going to perform in office.
Yeah.
If you don't know what's going on, you can't really complain about what's happening. And for me, municipal elections are so important. That's what happens right in front of your front door.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to me, I can have a lot more influence on my city council member. I mean, I text my city council member. I can call him.
Yep.
I can't do that with my United States senator. I mean, that it's a whole different deal.
Yeah.
So I think your ability to influence how things are going to happen is certainly greater at the local level. And I just don't understand why people don't come vote.
I don't either. I mean, you're exactly right. From the streets that you're driving on to the services that you depend upon, public safety services, those are all decisions made by your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to select folks who can be your champion at government. So that's our commercial right now. Penny and I are joined together and say, get out and vote April 2nd.
Yes, I can't emphasize that too much.
All right. Well, Penny, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for asking me. I'm always happy to talk about politics. I kind of live and breathe it.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.